As you may know, today is Aaron's installation service, and we had the superintendent, Matt Boda, was planning to come to facilitate that, and last night, suddenly, he came down with laryngitis. And so, we have Les Bon Bernard. He has graciously stepped in. Him and his wife, Dawn, drove here this morning from Calgary, and he's going to facilitate Aaron's installation. He is an assistant superintendent, so also very important. So we're very thankful that you're here, Les. Let's welcome him to the stage this morning.
Good morning. It is lovely to be with you today. And I bring greetings to you on behalf of Matt and our team at the district office. We love getting to do this type of thing. And to be in our churches with our people, it's amazing. So I want us to just reflect for a couple of minutes. First, I want us to think about you in this church. Some of you may not actually be aware that this church started in 1940. So almost 85 years, University Drive Alliance Church has served the people of Lethbridge in incredible ways. And as a church community, you have a long history that includes godly and loving pastors at the helm. Most recently, Scott Dixon, who served here for almost 28 years. It's a rich legacy. Now, as we begin today, Scott gave us a note that he wanted us to share with you. And so I just want to give you some words from him. He says this: "Dear Aaron, we had 11 years, great years, serving together side by side at UDAC. Some of my best shared memories with you include mission trips to Costa Rica and that endurance race to Paraguay, which included having pizza together at the Mother Church. I'm sure there's stories there. Yes, over the years, I witnessed compelling evidence of God at work in and through your life. God has given you gifts that have been used and will continue to be used to make many people and to bring them along in that journey with Jesus. You're going to do well as the lead pastor at UDAC. And I was beyond pleased upon hearing the call given to you and your acceptance of that role. Now, my friend, continue to worship and serve the King, to love the people he has and will put under your charge. God bless you. Scott." Yes. So, and some of you are wondering, of course, who I am. There was a brief introduction that was maybe overstating things a bit, but that's really good. And so I'm here participating because you, University Drive Alliance Church, you belong to something bigger than yourselves. You belong to an organization and a family of churches called the Alliance Canada. And I serve as one of the assistant superintendents representing the 115 churches in Alberta and the Northwest Territories that make up the Western District. So when we think about this idea, I want us to just be clear. If UDAC is your home, you may not know this, but you are part of that bigger family, a network of 420-some churches that stretch from BC to Newfoundland, and we aim at the very heart of who we are, to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused, a movement that drives everything that we do. And as collective churches, we also have over 200 international workers that serve on our behalf in 33 different countries around the globe. Now, if you didn't know some of that, when I say welcome to the family, you now have a deeper appreciation for what that actually means. Finally, I want you to just think about this for a second. As you gather week in and week out at University Drive Alliance Church, you have a rhythm of worship. Every church develops that, this sense of, this is how we do things around here. And in some places, they refer to those patterns and traditions as a liturgy, and you have yours. And so today is going to be somewhat different than what you're used to. It's going to be one of those unique opportunities for us to invest in a really rich tradition in the church that you may not have had an opportunity to participate in before. Normally, right now, somebody would stand up, probably Aaron, and preach the word. He'd teach you the way of Jesus, who you are in Christ, how we live out that identity in him. And we're going to do something a little different. It's already been referred to as an installation service. Now, as soon as that word got spoken, some of you thought of a new HVAC system. You thought of a dishwasher. You think of those kinds of things when you think of, I'm going to install that. Or I'm probably, for most of us, I'm going to get somebody else to install that. Right? But the reality is, down through church history, that's what they've called what we're going to do today. It's an opportunity to really engage in this idea of calling for Aaron and Ralna and their family as he takes on the role of lead pastor. And so we do that publicly. We do that collectively. Now, here's an interesting thing. I want you to just think about this. It's been a long time since one of these services has happened here at UDAC. It's 29 years ago. Now, I'm interested, how many of you were actually here when Scott Dixon was installed 29 years ago? Okay, one, two. Yeah, there's a few hands, but so this is new territory for many of you, and I'm actually quite excited about that. This is really a good thing for us. So we're going to take a few moments this morning, and we're going to collectively make some commitments. We're going to think about, what does it mean for us to be participants in what God is doing as he raises up Aaron as your new lead pastor? And there's a profound way in which that involves all of us. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to speak to all of you as the congregation. Then I'm going to speak to the leaders. And then I'm going to speak for a few moments to Aaron. Now, don't get nervous. That's not three sermons. Okay, that's just one talk with three different points, which is actually pretty typical, isn't it? Right? So we're going to be fine. So I want to begin by talking to you as the church community, the congregation. When you look at the relationship that God has designed for the church and its leaders, there's three scriptures that I think are pretty important or relevant, and I invite you to listen to them today. So Hebrews 13, verse 17, it says this: obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. We request of you, brothers, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and who have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. He also says to the congregation in 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Those are powerful words. And I think we should note that they're actually not suggestions. They're not just, give this some thought. It's actually a command to those of us who live within the community of faith in a church to live these things out. Obedience, submission, appreciation, and honor when it comes to our church leadership. This is serious stuff, and I want us to just think that through. You fulfill these words at UDAC by accepting the challenge and commissioning as the people of this church that Aaron serves and leads. And you do it by joining Aaron in following Christ. You do it by supporting him as your lead pastor. You do it by praying faithfully for him. You do it by listening to what God lays on his heart from Scripture and then gives to you. In a moment, I'm going to invite all of you to stand as we enter into a commitment together. I'm going to ask you a few questions which inquire about your intention to support Aaron as your lead pastor. And as I ask each of these questions, I'll end it with a phrase. The phrase is, if so, please answer, we will. So if you're in agreement with what I have asked, if you want to make that commitment, I'll invite you to respond with the words, we will. This is normally the only time you say something in church is when you're singing. Okay, we're going to go a little bit beyond that today. And these we wills are actually profoundly important because they express commitment. See, this is a moment of commitment. For all of us, actually, for you as a congregation, our district team intends to support Aaron and Ralna and their family. That's our high calling as well. Now, if you're here this morning and you're a guest, as we stand, you can participate as you feel comfortable. If there's one of the statements that you need to think through more, then simply hold off on that one. But I would encourage you to take seriously the response to each of the questions that I'm going to ask you to commit to. Okay, so if you're able, why don't you just stand and join me in this covenant of commitment. Here's the first question. Will you welcome Aaron and Ralna Moore into your community and embrace Aaron as lead pastor of the University Drive Alliance community and agree to follow and submit to his leadership as he submits to Christ? If so, please answer, we will.
We will.
Oh, I like this group. This is fantastic. So number two, will you agree to serve alongside Aaron as together you seek to advance God's kingdom through the ministries of this church using the gifts, the time, the resources that God has bestowed on each of you? If so, please answer, we will.
We will.
Will you commit to praying for the spiritual faithfulness and success of Aaron and Ralna, of their marriage and family, and that the Holy Spirit would inspire his preaching, shepherding, and daily leadership responsibilities? If so, please answer, we will.
We will.
Will you give of your financial resources in joining Aaron and the elders in this mission God has so clearly called University Drive Alliance Church to participate in? If so, please answer, we will.
We will.
Will you commit to laying aside your personal preferences, striving for the unity of University Drive Alliance Church, and desiring with all your actions to build up the body while forsaking those things that tear down the body of Christ? If so, please answer, we will.
We will.
And finally, will you do all you can to make the tenure of Aaron's leadership at UDAC a blessing to God, a time of great joy in service, and a season of accomplishing God's purposes for this body of believers? If so, please answer, we will.
We will.
May these things be true of all of you as you thrive together. Amen. You may be seated. The fuel of any successful church is found in its volunteers and its leaders, the people who I affectionately describe as leaning in, the ones who really lean in. And all of you do that as you serve, following and sacrificing so that people can meet Christ and become part of his forever family. That's you. But as I said, leaders are important as well. And here at your church, you have both staff and elders. And I want to take a couple of minutes to talk to you who serve in that way. And in a moment, as we have just done, I will invite you as leaders to stand as you also enter into a covenant of commitment. And I'm going to ask you a few questions which inquire about your intentions as leaders to support Aaron as your lead pastor. As with the challenge and commissioning of the body, as I ask each of these questions, I'll say, if so, please answer, we will. And if you're in agreement with what I've asked, I invite you to respond with those words, we will. Now, if you're an elder, if you're a pastor, I would invite you, if you are able, to stand and join me in this covenant of commitment. University Drive Alliance Church leaders, will you commit to faithfully serving alongside of and loving your pastor as the first amongst equals here at University Drive Alliance Church? If so, please answer, we will. Will you pray for Aaron faithfully, regularly bringing him before the Father's throne and asking God to bless, speak to, and guide him as your leader in the years ahead? If so, please answer, we will. Will you commit to being leaders marked by unity and a desire to live in harmony in life and mission as you lead together? If so, please answer, we will. Will you lean into protecting Aaron rather than complaining about him, honoring him as one who labors in word and doctrine for the good of your soul and recognizing him as the shepherd that God has given you? If so, please answer, we will. Will you take it upon yourselves to serve as encouragers to Aaron as your lead pastor, using your lips, your words, your voice to bless and build him up in the days ahead as you lead together? And if you will, please answer, we will. Finally, will you, as leaders, do all you can to make the tenure of Aaron's leadership at University Drive Alliance Church a blessing to God, a time of great joy in service, and a season of accomplishing God's purposes for this body of believers? If so, please answer, we will.
We will.
Thank you very much. You may be seated. This is a time now where we take a few moments and we just encourage Aaron. And so he's invited a couple of people to come and to participate in that. And so first to come will be Brian Polsky and followed by Rick Dempsey. And I'll encourage them to come and just minister to Aaron.
Awesome. Aaron, I'm speaking to you. The rest of you can just listen in. I find it fitting that today is Pentecost Sunday, the day we celebrate the Holy Spirit when he came upon the early church and those followers of Jesus the very first time. And today we come to commission you in a special way in this new role. I count it a privilege to share a word of encouragement with you. And right away when I was asked to share, I was drawn to the story of Joshua. As he too was anointed by the Holy Spirit to take over the leadership from Moses. There is a very familiar passage, which you know well, from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And I pass on those same words to you that God gave to Joshua in verse 9. He said, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Aaron, as you step into this sacred calling as our lead pastor here at University Drive Alliance Church, know that you are not alone. There is a whole army, a team of people that are with you. And I am one of those who is with you. And of course, God is with you, most importantly. Just as Joshua was called to lead with strength and courage into uncharted territory, so too you are being called to shepherd God's people here at UDAC with faith, boldness, and grace. Be strong, not in your own might, but in the strength that comes from abiding deeply in Christ. He is the vine and you are the branch. And as you remain in him, you will bear fruit.
Yeah.
This will go well. Be courageous, not because the path is easy, but because God's presence goes with you, just as he was with Joshua as he led the people of Israel. Do not be afraid of the unknown or discouraged by the challenges. Instead, remember that God himself walks ahead of you, he walks beside you, and he walks behind you. He is with you always. So lead with conviction, serve with compassion, and preach with assurance that the God who called you is so very faithful. I'm standing with you as you lead. We are standing with you as you lead. I'm praying for you. And I believe we just agreed that we are praying for you, your church. We are praying for you and believing that God will do a great work through you into this new season here at UDAC. Blessings, my friend.
Aaron, when I was asked to give an encouragement, I was thrilled. To share what I've experienced, but what everybody knows. You've been in this community. Everybody knows Aaron in his little quirky ways, in his humorous responses, in his way of engagement. You know, and just what it says up here, we're going to reach, teach, equip. You do that. You walk that out. You reach many. You engage many. And I'm lucky enough to be part of the leadership here. And you're asking for collaboration. You're asking for the leadership to step up.
Yeah.
But then I watch how, again, you lead beyond that. There's a congregation here, and you're leading wonderfully in here with others like Brian, Dylan, and staff, but you lead, you engage, and then you go beyond the walls. You're a chaplain for the Lethbridge Police, and you're touching hearts and minds there. Some of those guys might not shadow the doorstep here, but you're the light on part of their path. And then it goes even further. There's Costa Rica, and there's ministry a way out. And I continually hear stories from Hairson, continually hear updates and things going on with that ministry, and whether it's UDAC, Brooks, whoever, but the team collectively, which you're part of, we're reaching, we're teaching and equipping. May God bless, continue to bless your efforts, your actions, your moves. Thank you so much, Aaron.
Thank you, Brian and Rick. I want to take a moment and just talk to Aaron before we commission him. Aaron, it's an honor for Dawn and I to be able to be here. It's interesting, several months ago, Aaron and I were chatting on the phone, and it was a rich opportunity for us to think back, and actually way back, to some of the really formative moments that had happened in his life that we had actually been able to be part of. And it's so wonderful for us to be able to be in a situation like this, where we just get to see now how God has continued to work, clarifying, forming, calling, maturing, all of those things. It's just such a blessing for us to be able to be here with you today. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul writes to his younger disciple, Timothy, when he writes in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, "Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. And we could exchange Lois and Eunice with other names that we both know, and that point would still be the same. There's been a huge investment in your life, and the spiritual roots of your family really do run deep. And you've been blessed by that heritage. Through the two letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, he says some profound words, things like, hold on to your faith and a good conscience. Have nothing to do with godlessness. Train yourself to be godly. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Don't neglect your gift. Or, more likely the case, your gifts. That just beautiful mix of things that God has poured into your life by the Holy Spirit. And then has said to everyone watching from that great arena, watch this. It's fantastic. These are strong and encouraging words. And they taught Timothy how to pastor. The best books that you will ever read on pastoring are 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. There's an interesting fact. The Roman Catholic Church has been in the news these days as they've selected a new pope. And you may not be aware of the fact that in the Vatican, there's an individual whose only job is to write and deliver sermons to the pope. He doesn't write sermons for broad distribution. He writes sermons for one person with the aim of reminding that individual of what's truly important. Today, I feel like that's a bit of my role. So I just share these few thoughts with you, Aaron. And it comes from a single verse in Paul's first letter to Timothy. And I want to use it as a focus of your commissioning. And that single verse is 1 Timothy 4:16. And it reads like this: watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. In this single verse, Paul's writing three things to Timothy that I think are important for you to hear today. The first is, watch your life. Watch your life. Keep a close watch on how you live. And I think Paul's actually saying a couple of things here. He's saying that how you live, the way you act, the way you talk and think and relate to people, the way you live out your faith, the way you represent Christ in the places where you live and work and play really matter. So keep a critical eye on your life. But I think he's also saying that it begins with you. Your ministry to others doesn't actually begin with others. It begins with you. And when you preach and teach, begin with you. The first person you need to preach to is you. What does this scripture mean to me? How you live your life. How does this passage apply to your life and the lifestyle you choose? You're a part of this congregation, and as such, you are a fellow follower of Jesus Christ. You're not above them or below them. You walk beside them, live among your people in such a way that you are saying that you take this way of life very seriously. Keep a close watch on how you live. Secondly, he writes, watch your doctrine. Keep a close watch on your teaching. Watch what you believe and teach. Paul's saying to Timothy, give careful attention to the truth that you teach. Make sure it comes from God's word and nowhere else. Sift what you teach from Scripture through Scripture itself. Speak God's word into the lives of others. And he's reminding Timothy that at the center of what he believes and teaches needs to be the life-giving word of God. Psalm 119, 12 to 16. I praise you, Lord. Please teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all your laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Keep a close watch on your teaching and beliefs, Aaron. And third, Paul gives Timothy the why behind the command to watch his life and doctrine closely. He's writing to a younger pastor who may be tempted to think that he isn't all that influential, that he's not important in the lives of those he serves in that church in Ephesus, and even as someone specifically sent to pastor the church in Ephesus. So Paul writes, watch your life and teaching, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. In the months and years to come, your life, your beliefs, your teachings will matter in this room. They will matter in this community. And as has already been shared, beyond even that, who knows how broad the influence will be. It is critically important that you get that, Aaron. It's sobering to think about, but it's true. It really is. And I commend those words to you as a charge as you enter into this season of leadership here at University Drive. In a moment, I'm going to get you to join me. And I'm going to invite you to do the same thing that your congregation and your leaders have done, and that is to make some commitments. I will ask you some questions, and you can simply respond, I will, to each of those. Why don't you join me up here? So, Aaron, will you commit to live and lead UDAC as one who gives credit to and does not dishonor Jesus Christ, who you have embraced as your model, your Savior, and your Lord?
I will.
Will you live and lead as a model of the gospel's impact, being a personal example to this congregation, committed to live a life of holiness, abstaining from those things that would jeopardize your witness and your influence to others?
I will.
Will you also love your brothers and sisters in this body, enduring hardship and challenges for the welfare of the church, and living a life of compassion, forgiveness, and grace?
I will.
Will you commit to faithfully preach the whole counsel of God's inerrant word in season and out, without apology, without compromise, not shrinking to declare the whole of the gospel?
I will.
And will you commit yourself to loving this congregation by praying fervently for those whom Christ purchased with his own blood and has now given to you to shepherd in this church?
I will.
And finally, will you commit to living a Christ-centered life in your home alongside of Ralna, modeling the way of Christ, encouraging your family into the gospel, and leading them to love Christ and his church?
I will.
Amen.
Amen.
So good, man.
Thank you.
I'm going to invite Ralna to join us. I'm going to invite the kids to come on up, if they want. That was kind of, it's kind of one of those, what? It's lovely. And so I'd also invite the pastors and the elders to come up here. It's going to get a little crowded. I'm just going to get this mic. So I'm just going to invite all of you to come up. And in a moment, I'm going to invite the congregation to stand. Before I do that, I want to also invite Gary Jones to come up. This is Aaron's father-in-law, a longtime Alliance pastor. And Aaron has asked him to actually lead in prayer for the commissioning. So if we can pass this mic down to him in a moment, there we go. That'd be lovely. So we're going to invite all of you to stand in a moment as we specifically pray for and commission Aaron. We join our hearts and minds together to dedicate you into this role as lead pastor of University Drive Alliance Church. And we mark today's beginning by praying specifically for you as you step into this role. So we're going to lay our hands on you. If you're comfortable, I would encourage you to extend your hands as a way of entering in with us into blessing Aaron and Ralna and their family. And I would encourage you to stand with me now as Gary prays the prayer of commissioning.
Just before we pray, I want to read a couple of passages. It says, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames or the doorposts of your houses and on your gates." And then I want to read another passage. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. Yeah. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." Commissioning is really where we bow our knee before God and we reach up to heaven and we ask for heaven to come down to
Amen.
Us. And as we pray for Aaron and Ralna and their family, we want God to do that for them. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you have invited us to have a posture where we bow our lives before you.
Yes.
Where we bow our hearts and we recognize you as the God who is the giver and sustainer and provider of life. And Lord, as you have provided salvation for Aaron and Ralna and their family, Today we want to say thank you for being our substitute and our God. And we want to ask now that you would pour out your spirit and your grace upon them as a family, that you would pour out strength to be open and available to you and allow you to pour into their lives what they need through your Holy Spirit day by day.
Yes, Jesus.
And may the grace of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the strength and the power of God rest and abide upon them. Fill them, anoint them for ministry.
Yes.
Equip them, yes, and protect them and build, yes, a wall of protection around each of them.
Amen.
Around their children and around them as a couple and around this church.
Mm.
And we pray this not in our strength or in our ability, but rather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose for us. And we ask this in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Would you join me in just welcoming and encouraging, yes, Aaron and Rana, as they step into this new role. Fantastic. Okay, we're good.
You may be seated, church. Now it's my turn, I guess.
Go ahead.
I am so humbled and honored and blessed by this challenge and this opportunity. And when the invitation came a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, from the elders, when an offer came to be your next leader, I was ready to go, and I knew that God was inviting us into this. And so the answer was very easy, because if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. And we believe that God is leading the way on this. And so, church, I commit to you, and I commit to our district, and most of all, I commit to the Lord, that we will run together. We will do our best to lead up the next hill and into the next season, and God is good. So, church, we're going to spend a moment. I'll try to keep it a moment. We're going to look into God's Word. If you have your Bibles, I would love for you to open them to Hebrews chapter 12. And I realized it wasn't appropriate for me to run back to my office. I forgot my glasses, so if I'm holding it out a bit, bear with me. But when I was praying earlier this week, and I was asking the Lord what he would have me share as a response, this passage came to mind in a conversation I had, I think on Tuesday. And as I worked through this passage this last week, it just seemed so appropriate for us to use this as a means of inspiration and blessing and challenge for we as a church, not just Aaron, not just you, for us, the team here at UDAC that is going to lead into this next season to be a vibrant church for the city, igniting hope and transformation and mobilizing everyone everywhere to courageously follow Jesus. So will you read this passage with me, and then we will take a moment just to talk about it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we read God's word here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, oftentimes at this point in an installation service, when the pastor gets up, it's an opportunity for them to introduce themselves and help you to get to know them better. But after 11 and a half years of running with you, that doesn't seem like what God is asking me to do today. I think you probably already know me well. And if I don't know you well yet, or you don't know me well, then we need to go for coffee or we need to have a meal together. And you can find out what a quirky duck they've just installed as your lead pastor. But my sense this morning, friends, was that we needed to celebrate and be blessed into understanding and embracing who God has made us to be. and who we already are and what God is leading us forward in. And so to start, when the writer in Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, what he does here is he takes us back to the previous chapter in chapter 11. And he looks back to the history of who these people were, and he reminds them of what has helped to motivate them or helped to encourage them to step into the faith-filled journey that they're living into. He looks at the past and the great hall of faith that we read about, and he highlights the faith of leaders like Abel and Enoch, like Noah and Abraham, like Sarah, like Isaac and Jacob. And when he says, when you look at their lives, be motivated, live differently, live with the kind of faith that they lived with, because when you do, your world and your community will be different. You will shine a light for Jesus. You will know how to walk into these days. You will know how to lead forward. You will know how to be salt and light in this world. And so live differently, live motivated by your historical example. And much like the Great Hall of Faith, I think there's an invitation to here at University Drive Alliance Church for us to understand who we have been historically and to embrace that and then to run into the preferred future that God has for us. And when I think of our past, and I've had the privilege of studying it quite a bit, I think of the many who have run before us. Pastors like Cunningham and Belker, like Colley and Chuang, like Monroe and Bergman, like Penner and Dixon, pastors who led by faith, took God-sized risks, had a heart for the community. And when they led from this place, they inspired generations of people to make Jesus famous in this great city. But friends, it wasn't just the pastors, was it? There were many people who led from the pews and inspired future generations to run as well. Names like Anderson and Westcott, Harvey and Ratzlaff, Lepp, Lilly, and Howe, men and women who God blessed in this church and out of this church to be their own cloud of witnesses. And when we recognize that, we can see that we have a rich history, but we can also see that we have a rich future as well. That today is one of those days where the torch is being passed forward and where the previous generations, in a sense, are saying to us, now it's your turn to run. Now it's your turn to lead. It's your turn to inspire people to walk with Jesus for themselves. That for 85 years, this has been the call and the mission of the church to go into the city, to make Jesus famous. And now, church, it's our turn. And what is so exciting about this opportunity is that this is who we are. A vibrant church for the city, igniting hope and transformation, and mobilizing everyone everywhere to courageously follow Jesus. Well, look what the writer does next in verse 1. He says, since you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. What we're being invited into, friends, isn't a race for someone else. This is our race. God has placed all of us here for a reason. He's placed you, he's placed me, he's placed us, and he's inviting us into a race for the long haul. Not a short sprint where we will burn out, but a journey, a marathon, where that we will endure daily and faithfully, leaning on God. And I don't think that God is expecting that we're going to be perfect. We are seen as perfect because of Jesus. But what he is asking us to be is he is asking us to be faithful. Each one of us is here for a reason, friends. Not a season, but a reason. And in the long haul of this journey and in the beauty of this moment, when God looked at the opportunities that were present, he selected us. He selected you. He selected me. When he looked at this moment, he put together a team, a people who were gifted, people who were called, which is what God is inviting us into right now. He put together gifts and he said, yeah, the perfect opportunity, the perfect people, the perfect challenge for these people to step into, I'm going to put together this team. And he's called us into that. And so when God looked at this season, he said, I need gifts of faith. I need gifts of intercession. I need gifts of leadership, of wisdom, of knowledge. I need gifts of beauty. He needed someone really handsome, so he brought Brant Ritter to church today. When God looked at this moment, he put together this team, this church. And he says, this is exactly who I need to accomplish this vision. This is our race. This is our call. This is God's team. And so I want to invite you to get in the starting blocks of this race with me and know that you and I are a part of this plan. Well, really, the heart of this passage comes in verse 2, and this is great news. Because what the writer of Hebrews reminds us is that this race isn't about us, but rather is centered on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And the good news for University Drive Alliance Church, friends, is that when we are at our strongest, when we are running our best race, Jesus is the leader of our story. When we face a challenge, we look to Jesus. When we're tempted to quit, we look to Jesus. When we needed fresh vision, we look to Jesus. When we're in seasons of change, we look to Jesus. And when we get into the starting blocks of a new season and a new opportunity, the next lap of the race, we look to Jesus. And as we do, we understand that he's not just the goal of what we're running towards, but instead, and also, he's the one who gives us strength, and he's the one who inspires us. He's the one who's running alongside of us and encourages us to keep going. Psalm chapter 16, verse 8 says, I keep my eyes on the Lord, with him at my right hand. I will not be shaken. And so what we understand, friends, is that it is not our strength, it is not our abilities that is going to bring blessing in the days to come, but rather what the writer of Hebrews says to us is, fix your eyes on Jesus, because he is the one that is going to bring blessing. He is going to be the one that will bring change. He will transform the city. He will bring the hope. He will make us vibrant when he is alive within us. With our eyes on Jesus and allowing him to lead the way, not only will we find strength for this day, but we also discover ways that we can live out this vision that he's given to us. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's a life that steps into all opportunities, that leads towards all blessings, that brings all hope, all transformation, and looks to Jesus every step at the way. These past number of months, as we were considering the opportunity to step into the leadership role here, what was compelling about the opportunity wasn't the fact that I got to move into a new office or be a little bit more bossy. It was the consideration that God has brought together a group of people who've lived from different backgrounds and have lived different lives, but who passionately love Jesus, who understand the call, who are embracing the cost, who are willing to take the risks. This is who we've always been, church. The best days of University Drive Alliance Church, the brushstrokes of what has made this church successful, are present and alive in the room. And in all of that, what I see most clearly are people who passionately love Jesus, who have him as number one in their lives, who on a day like today, June the 8th, 2025, on Pentecost Sunday, are longing for a deeper filling of the Holy Spirit, are longing for a deeper anointing, are longing to step into the challenge. That's what makes this attractive, because Jesus is in the center of the room. He is present. He is the collective effect. He is the hero of our story and the aim of our collective affection and worship. And what's exciting is that we will step into this vision, that Jesus will lead the way, and that the blessings will come, because collectively we are convinced that he is our hero and he is our leader. To be very honest with you, I'm extremely humbled by this day. I don't feel like I deserve this. I just feel like I'm getting into the starting blocks next to many of you and Jesus at my right hand. And with him there, we're looking to the left and looking to the right. We're making some jokes. We're sharing a smile. And Jesus is looking over and he's saying to us all, are you ready to run? But as humbled as I am, I need to take a few moments to express some words of gratitude and thanks. First, I want to thank you, our congregation. Your enthusiasm and support is unbelievable. I am so humbled with the way that you love the Lord and serve so generously. It is a profound honor to run with you, and I can't wait for what's ahead. These last 11 and a half years have been my best years in ministry. I've enjoyed it the most. But when I look forward, I believe that the best is yet to come. And to run with you, that is a gift. It is unbelievable. I love you. Secondly, I want to thank our search committee and our elders for the time that you took to share with me. As long as the process was, it was a joyful process. And when I look at you, I see a picture of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Men and women who are running to Jesus. Men and women who are rolling up their sleeves. Men and women who have their eyes fixed on Jesus. And this is great news. I want to thank you. I love you. I want to thank our staff. You found out very late in the game that I had even applied, let alone got the job. And so I want to thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your collaboration. Thank you for your love of the Lord. I can't wait to run with you. We are a good team. And God has so many good gifts in the season ahead. I love you. I want to take special time to thank the Lethbridge Police Service. Our Chief Shaheen Medizadeh is coming to our next service. And there are members of LPS who are here this morning. I want to thank you for the amazing way that you've supported me, given me opportunity, and I'm profoundly honored to serve alongside of you in this beautiful and amazing city. It is a privilege to serve as your chaplain and to also be your friend. I love you. I want to thank our families, your endless love and support, and belief in me strengthens me and encourages me not to give up. It is a joy to share in life with you. I love you. And I want to thank our district office. When Matt texted me last night, we were out in the garden gardening, and he said he couldn't make it. But he said, I'm going to send my best man to come and do the job. And so Les and Don are here, and I'm so thankful for them. The first time that I served outside of the church was under Don's leadership at Camp Camisol. And when I rededicated my life at 16 years old, Les was the director at camp this year. They've had profound leadership in my journey with Jesus, and I am so thankful for you. I've looked up to you both for a long time, and I praise God for you. I love you. Thank you. And finally, as I promised Matt, I'm not going to pull any intrigue. I'm going to remember my family. And so, Rhonda and Claire and Jaden and Adria, I couldn't do this without you. Thank you for loving and modeling Jesus to me. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your courage to run with my passion and my craziness. It is extremely special to have you here and at my side. I love you. Church, as we step into these final moments of our service, I want to thank you for your endurance for a long service today. But we want to praise God. He is giving us the torch to run the race. He is with us in the starting blocks. And he's saying, the best is yet to come. And so fix your eyes on me. We are going to run together to be a vibrant church for the city, igniting hope and transformation and mobilizing everyone everywhere to courageously follow Jesus. Let's sing this last song, and then I'll come up for our benediction.